Where and when were you born, the address and year?
I was born in 1947 in August, but I will tell you this, that I am not a native-born Orlandoan, though my family has been here for many, many, many years. I was born on the British Bay Islands off Honduras, which were for many years a British possession, and where my mother's family, the Kirkconnells, are from. So in any event, though, my family, originally my parents, my dad's family, came to Orlando and brought him to recover from the great influenza of 1917 that killed hundreds of thousands of Americans and a million people around the world. He was a cadet training at the University of Kentucky, and many of them got it. They were able to come from their home in Kentucky down here and spent the winter and nursed him back to health. He went back, graduated from UK in 23, and by 26 he was back here as a full-time resident. So that's how we got here. My mother's family, a little the same. They maintained a home in Tampa. My grandfather, her father, was a sailing ship captain and came back and forth to Tampa Harbor. And she was born in the British Bay Islands of Honduras, and which are a neat little thing if you look at a map. There are only three major islands of it and a bunch of little keys, but Honduras is the only country in Central America that faces north, and that's where we're all related with the same families in the Cayman Islands. So anyway, indigenous to the Caribbean, that's how I got here.
Very interesting. So how old were you exactly when you moved to Orlando?
I was just a baby, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what would you say was your favorite part about growing up in Orlando?
I think the neighborhoods of Orlando and the friendships that we had in a small town, a wonderful place to grow up. You, particularly among the families that had been here a long time, you knew each other across town. I mean, when I was young dating and what, I went to Edgewater High School, but I dated girls from Boone High School, and in the afternoon, the little motor scooters, or later the cars, would cross, the boys from Boone going to Edgewater because, of course, they were prettier girls, and the boys from Edgewater going to Boone because they were beautiful girls. So that's kind of the way we all grew up. We knew each other. It was a relatively small town, and that changed. The first change of that was Martin Marietta moving here from Baltimore, and bringing 8,000 families. I think I'm right on that figure, but the life and breath of Orlando breathed around their ups and downs at Martin Marietta when, you know, armaments and so forth, missiles and such were big, things were booming, and when they laid off 3,000 people, Orlando was in dire straits.
So like what time period? What?
That would have been the late 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, that was all dairy land out there. All dairy.
Very interesting. How and why did you become involved with Orlando Remembered?
I've always been a historian. I know it with contemporaries of mine, it probably bored them to death. But I was a language person, and I was a history person. I wound up being a banker, but mathematics was never my long suit. I just, people were, and that provided wealth for me in life. So that's, you know, that's kind of the reason I got involved. People asked me to come to get involved with Orlando Remembered, and it was my pleasure and has been all these years.
Interesting. So you were not one of the founding members of?
No, I was not. Because at that particular time, I was spending a little time out of here, and the origin of it started at the Beecham Theater. That's where the first meeting, and I could not be there that particular time. We had a place in North Carolina, and like so many Floridians that grew up in the days before air conditioning, if you had 50 cents to clink together in your pocket, you either rented or you owned a place, as we did in Highlands, North Carolina, or somewhere up that around Asheville, Western North Carolina. Anyway, I was not here for that. But I was soon right.
So you've been there almost the entire time.
Just wasn't at the very first meeting, which I consider were the founders. I knew every one of them. There were some wonderful, the Sarises, the Peggy Jo Vandenberg, Peggy Jo Pounds, we all knew her as, so forth and so on. A lot of them that were very active in that time. Grace Tuning.
Are a lot of the founding members still?
There are still a number of them, surprisingly enough, still around. Andy Sarris is that I mentioned earlier, and his brother Bob is active. But Andy passed away a few years ago, and he was one of the original founders. And there was there were a couple of others that have passed away.
What is the overall goal of Orlando Remembered?
To preserve the memory of areas and locations and landmarks in the city. And we've done that in several ways, but I think one of the best ways is the location of displays in various spots around downtown Orlando and a couple outside of downtown with memorabilia of that area. And you know, at some point in time I'd love to take you on a walking tour and show you some of those things. Just to stroll down Orange Avenue, and you can see the way it looked in the, sometimes as far back, there'll be something there from the 1890s from one of the hotels, from the hotel that my grandparents stayed in when they came that year in 1918 at the Wyoming Hotel. There's a set of china and some tableware that I believe are in the display at the Orange County Courthouse. Go in the courthouse for any of you that might want to make that tour and see. Walk in the front, leave your holstered items in the car, because you're going to go through the security thing there, but go over to the left and you'll see it in the lobby there. You'll see a great one. It tells all about what's happened on that street and that block and that area around there. It had the Wyoming Hotel on it, which was only a winter hotel, as many in Florida were. They closed in the summer, like Park Avenue did. My in-laws had a store on Park Avenue for over 40 years, and they were one of the very few that stayed open year-round. Most of them would head back in the cooler, warmer months of Florida. They'd go to cooler locations, whether the hotels or the shops like there. Not that wasn't so in Orlando necessarily. It was a year-round, but in those winter destinations like that and such, they'd go up to Algonquin, you know, up to Maine, up to Vermont, wherever they might be, and open a shop up there for the summer months and come back. So our whole life around here was real dependent on those northerners coming down. And in the early days before Martin Marietta and such, in the wintertime, we had not only the casual tourists who came down because to try and get away for a week or two. We had those that came down, as later my grandparents did after enjoying it so much, and many others, and spent time down here. Some spent the winter, some spent 6 months. But we also had we were the winter trotting horse capital of the United States. And it brought a lot of revenue in. was held out at Ben White, which was the raceway that was at the corner of about what's Lee Road and 441. It's now a big athletic fields, and there's some stables, I think, still in the back. But it was a huge money infusion in the winter. Those people came, the owners of those. It was always considered a society kick above horse racing. The trotters and pacers were brought down, and they stabled them here, and the races. You knew when Ben White opened because traffic picked up. Now that would sound ridiculous with today's horrible traffic in Orlando, but back then there weren't that many cars on the road, and you'd see these automobiles come into town, and up on the hood was a metal stainless pretty thing of a trotting horse. And a sulky behind it. You know, you knew they were involved in that. It just one of the things that, you know, came across that kept our town going before Martin Marietta and before Disney and such.
Mentioning the horses, do you have an exhibit that features that?
You know, we have some pictures of it in one or two, but we don't have anything because there's no facility out there left at Ben White to put it in. We would do that because there's enough probably memorabilia from those days. But what we've tried to do is locate what was on those various blocks. Maybe not just a block, maybe an area. In other words, we've in some cases helped sponsor a plaque like for the airbase that was in town where Herndon Airport is today. Was the Orlando Airbase. Before it was the Navy base. So, you know, they're newcomers or what maybe consider themselves longtime Orlandoans that remember a Navy base out there, but I remember when it was the Orlando Air Base. And we had another air base that opened, was Pinecastle Air Base. And that's now the Orlando International Airport. The runways were there for the big bombers, and it was a SAC base, a Strategic Air Command. And again, both of those things brought in a great deal of money when they came here. The closing of Orlando Air Base was going to be a pretty big blow. And at that time, the owner and publisher of the Orlando Sentinel was a man named Martin Anderson, always with an E-N at the end. Never. You can always tell somebody new to town when they write it as Anderson. But Martin Anderson was a Texas boy who knew LBJ. And Johnson was president, and he persevered on it and got a branch of the Great Lakes Naval Training Center to be established on the base, on part of what had been the air base. And it brought in not just recruits, it brought families, it brought officers, enlisted men, it brought a whole lot of payroll coming in here. It was wonderful. Again, another milestone that came along through connections or coincidence, whatever it might be. The same thing with the air base out here. It was going to close, and MacDill in Tampa was going to take over as the air base for Florida, a major one. And the facilities were there for many years. The terminal was a big round-top hangar that had been used by the Air Force itself. And there was a lot of housing out there. There's still some housing in that area out there. There's a naval exchange where, you know, those that are qualified can, retirees and so forth, can go shop and so forth. A lot of other services were left in place, and the city has had good use out of them.
Good. How does the group decide which sites to commemorate with exhibits?
Well, usually sponsored someone, finds someone, that owns a building in that location. And sometimes the building owner contributes financially to building. The displays are not cheap to put together. And, they're housed, they're lighted, many of them, and so forth. But it also takes someone who might have worked in that building or owned a building there, and they have memorabilia, and, boy, we seize on it when we do. And they're scattered throughout, mostly in the downtown area. I mentioned the courthouse. The big Bank of America Tower has one that we're redoing in there now. That I dedicated that when I was president of Orlando Remembered. I did a number of the dedications of those, either when I was involved as one of the officers or not. But we have one in what was the Rutland Building, and that was a well-known building, the corner of Jefferson and I believe it is on Orange Avenue at the corner of Washington and Orange, a building that once housed the most prestigious men's store and ladies' store in downtown when they were private companies, not big, department stores, national chains and such. We have another one in the SunTrust Tower downtown that we've had there in the what was originally the CNA building, but where the Citrus Club is in that name has changed a number of times on that building. They're throughout there. And again, usually it's because someone has a real interest in it or a financial interest in getting one of those displays in there. It's a job to maintain them. They need periodic cleaning and dusting. The city has helped us with one. There's one at the Bob Carr Auditorium that shows that used to be the Orlando Municipal Auditorium. It was the auditorium, and it wasn't as big as it is today. If you go inside and you really look, you'll see the old front is 20 feet back from the front now, and it's where people gather outside and so forth, but it's air conditioned and so forth. It's an ante room to the auditorium itself. We're hoping that it will stay that way. There's talk of tearing it down, and it's a treasure that those of us that love Orlando would hate to see come down. It's a memory. I mean, we went to plays, when we were in grade school, went there. The junior league used to put a play on every year there, and all the school children in Orlando got to take turns going down to see it in buses and so forth. I remember that as a child. It was great.
So you mentioned the exhibits are usually started by somebody who's interested. Like, I'm sure a lot of people are interested in creating different exhibits. How do you decide which exhibit's going to be created by that person?
Well, we can only do one at a time because we have no continuous funding basis. So a lot of times it also depends on the owner of a building, who's going to first place give us the space and the electricity and so forth, and might want one of those in there to draw attention to their own building, or it's a lot cheaper than buying a painting to put on the wall probably for them over the long run, and it gives, it's on tours many times. I've done those tours and taken people, and I think the museums now has a tour basis, I'm pretty sure, that includes that, and there are brochures that you can get. Today you go online and you can find out where they all are, and it's even a map, I think, in there to follow through.
How does Orlando Remembered pay for the exhibits?
With contributions from its members, from the owners of the building, Most of the material that goes in there, in fact, to all of it, it is given to us. It's donated to that particular point to someone that may have worked in the one, you know, where there was a department store. They may have the old name tag out of the back of a sweater or something, you know, to one that had a restaurant in it. There's some china from that Wyoming hotel I tell you about, and some other things. So the materials that go into it, we don't pay for. We just need the cabinetry and so forth is all custom done, and it's done attractively. So it's thousands of dollars to do it. And I'm talking, you know, five figure in thousands. So, you know, it's not something that you just decide because you have some china that you'll put it in there. You need a sugar daddy that's there to contribute.
Roughly how many members of Orlando Removed are there?
I can't tell you that. I really don't know. I'm you know, I can't recall a recent number.
In your opinion, what's your favorite Orlando Remember exhibit?
Well, I love the one in the courthouse, as I said. There are several of them downtown one at the Municipal Auditorium. That's another one that I like, the one that was in the Rutland Building. And at one time, I'm not sure we still have the one that was at the Central Avenue side of the northeast corner, southeast corner of Central and Orange, which was originally Yaldrew's and became Yaldrew Ivy's department store. It's an office building now, and who knows what's in the downstairs. It rotates constantly, but that was a good one. SunTrust has a good one. Some of them, you know, we've had to track down because all of a sudden somebody goes by and looks and it's gone. Someone has, you know, the manager of the building has decided to put it in the storage room, hopefully. We've lost a couple of them that, you know, the materials we've had to buy back. A janitor or custodian, whatever it would be, keeper of them at one of those corners at Central and Orange, took a lot of it home, and we had to repurchase things because it had been given to us. And you know, you just, it can happen in a moment, and it can, you know, I mean, we are not a business that goes by and checks it every week, so you know, months can go by and one of our members doesn't notice it, and no one calls us and says, you know, there was a display in the lobby, but it's not there anymore. Well, I don't know that we don't really have an office phone number to call. So we've been through all of that with it. But, you know, determination and a love for the city and to continue its history has kept us going. And we continue to provide these. So it costs money to maintain them. Again, as I think I mentioned earlier, they have to be clean, they have to be open, they're sealed. It has to be it's not a take a rag down there and clean the outside. You've got to clean the inside, you've got to clean the displays, you've got to clean the linings and so forth. So it takes upkeep and it takes continuous maintenance.
Who's responsible for?
Well, we get someone to do it, a professional to do it. And again, that's part of maintaining these. We don't have any huge balance, so we have to do it as we can.
What are your personal goals for Orlando Remembered in the future?
I'd like to see it continued on and on. And you know, for those of us that are, as I am, near 70, and we've got members that are, you know, 85 years old, and so, you know, but we've got members coming along that have lived here 35 years, 50 years, 60 years. There'll be things that they remember that have changed dramatically in Orlando, that and there's space to make to put a display up, and I think that they'll be active in that. We've tried to get some other organizations, and I won't mention the name, but there's one that's a lot of young ladies your age, under 40, I think, and you go inactive or something, if I remember right. My wife and daughter was in that, but in any junior league. And, you know, we may indeed get them interested. So there are things like that that will be of interest to someone later, and the displays that we did will be of no more interest in many cases. Some, we hope, but once you lose the generation that remembers what was in that building, it becomes something for the history museum, not something for an active mind to draw you back to your own personal memories of it. And therefore, you need to continue on. And of course, downtown now, you'll have to have a great memory of which nightclubs were where, because that's about all there is in those buildings downtown anymore. So, but, you know, there are spots for it everywhere.
Has Orlando remembered had a lot of success at attracting younger generations and everything?
I think we've done all right. We've got a good variance of age groups. We'd like to have more younger people. We'd love to have people your age. We'd love to have people from the university, and as you are doing, take an interest. We welcome you. There are no dues to come help us. We'd love to have it.
How does Orlando Remembered interact with the community?
Well, we try to do it with these displays and by keeping them alive. A little bit of writing, the newspaper has done well with us, and we've been able to get some good publicity when we open these, and once in a while we do an interview like this one is being done, and we have others. I've done a TV interview and a show. So, I mean, I've also gone around to schools and some of them, not specifically to talk about Orlando Remember, but I try to bring out when I talk about history to them, go see the displays that are available, and it'll take your parents with you, because they'll remember a lot of those things that are in there.
What was the connection between Orlando Remembered and the Historical Society of Central Florida / the Orange County Regional History Center?
Not really anything in the years, other than cross membership. It's two separate accounts and two separate organizations. I was also president of the Orange County Museum and the Historical Society, Orange County Historical Society, before it moved downtown, when the last year that it was at Lock Haven in I'm trying to think what's there in that theater thing now, but anyway. It was there for many. It was originally in an old red brick courthouse when I was a little boy. That's where that park in front of the historical museum is. In the front was an 1888 or 1892 courthouse, and it was the 1927 courthouse where the museum is today was there, and active as the courthouse. This red brick building had the museum in it that was all volunteer, run by the Antiquarian Society, which was a group of prominent family ladies who gathered memorabilia and volunteered hours up there. And it was relatively small, but it was the beginning of the History Center. Some of those volunteers, children or grandchildren, have been active in the Historical Society and in Orlando Remember.
Which organization were you president of first?
The museum, I think, if my memory serves, I think, yes, I'm certain of it. Again, age, it's you try to remember which one was which. But I was president of the Historical Society and the museum, and I think that was 99 or 2000, and something like that. After following that, been a little bit active, but that gave me another line, something else to do. You know, when you get finished being president of an organization, the greatest thing you can do is to step aside and let the new people have it. Don't hang around trying.
That's the hardest thing.
It is hard. It is hard. But in any event, it was a good break, and I've enjoyed it. Both of them.
How does one become involved with Orlando Remembered?
Our meetings, and I can give you an address. You may have it for Grace, and she is our recording secretary and a great person. And you do have that that address, email. She can put you on a mailing list. We'd love to have. And if there are other students that would like to come sit down, to some it may be very boring, you know, and we talk about the same thing about trying to get a display. I don't know how long we've gone on trying to put together getting a display on the Navy base of some, what would I call the Navy base, but out at Baldwin Park. Not just a little sign, but a real display of what used to be there, the glass-cased display. It's going to happen one of these days, but gosh, you know, even somebody that's a member gets tired of hearing, well, we've made no progress on the, you know, this and that and the next thing over and over. But we right now there's a lot of our displays have hit the age and stage of maintenance. And so that's been our push this last year rather than new ones. But we'll continue on, and perhaps we'll go beyond just Orlando. The Winter Park area has others, and you know, a couple of the fine families out in West Orange County have done a great job in Winter Garden. They've really done a super job. If you've not been to downtown Winter Garden, don't miss it. It is as pretty, if not more beautiful, than Park Avenue in Winter Park. It's two streets with a park, a little park down the middle, and some great restaurants. Good place just to go out and sip one in the evening or to eat lunch or something.
I was actually just there last week for their railroad museum.
Oh, so wonderful.
It's the first time I've ever been downtown.
Isn't it a cute little town? Mm-hmm. It really is. And it was dilapidated, is not the word for it, 15 years ago. I mean, it... But, again, several families have, the Chacones and a few others, have put together some wonderful things out there. I urge you to go out there.
So I know you mentioned that, like, downtown's all just nightclubs and stuff, and Orlando Remembered does exhibits. Would Orlando Remembered ever try to preserve an entire building, you think, or is that too far out?
No, I think it's too far beyond what we have no source of continuous income, so it wouldn't, unless someone donated a building to us, and you know, it'd be wonderful, and you know, you could do vignettes on the, you know, throughout the building, or a home, you know, that showed various spots that might even be safer than the way we do it, where we're putting our display, expensive display, in the lobby of a building, again, without constant control. We don't know when it winds up at the janitor's garage at home. So, you know, you just need a continuous thing. And when we have no employees, it's just volunteer, all of it.
How do you believe Orlando Remembered will change in the future?
Well, I know there'll be changes to it, but I think some of them will be good, because just like this right now, I see more interest in young people with history, you know, than there was in my day growing up. There was very little interest in I was a rarity to be a young lad, and I don't know of another soul